Thank you. Can you read that? God always takes you, condemnation always takes you away from God, and conviction brings you towards him. A few weeks ago now, I was reading about conviction and condemnation, and as I was reading it, I thought, this is not really spoken about in church. And I thought, well, sometimes I think we might get the lines a little bit muddled between what is conviction and what's condemnation. So I'm going to share it this morning. But what I want to really get you to get hold of this morning is the power of God in righteousness. And I'm saying that because that's already been spoken about in the meeting. The enemy of our soul would really like to keep us down, would really like to tell us that we're people, as Christians as well, sometimes no hope, because God is not going to break into the situation that we're in. And what I want to share this morning, I'm very excited about, is that there is no situation in your life that God cannot break into and change. The Holy Spirit is powerful in every situation. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you've done. I am not bothered at all, because I know that when Jesus died on that cross, he died for everything, past, present, and future. So as Christians, when you mess up, and we do, Christians, when you make a mistake, when you do something wrong, God is there to put it right within us. It's the sin that is around that impacts on us. But we have the power through the Holy Spirit to break the hold of sin in our lives. And it is not someone else's fault. Those of you that are in addiction or are being in addiction, it is not someone else's fault. Coming on a Thursday night, I'm learning so much. Coming on a Thursday night to the class that Steve's doing for the 12 steps. And we've just done about the making amends. And I had no idea about any of this. And, you know, I really thank God that when we have an intention to put things right, even though we can't change the circumstances, the fact that we're intending to put things right and go forward and live for God, that is enough. And the circumstances are dealt with in a different way. So that's what I want to share this morning. So there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. And for those of you who started coming to church more recently, I want you to know that Jesus died for all sin. Our heart as a leadership, as Christian leaders, is that you are set free, that the enemy does not have any hold over your life whatsoever. Jed spoke last week about the enemy and about how he'll want to hamper us to stop our growth, and worse still, keep you where you are. And we're not having that as Christians. And at the end of today's service, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you that if you're affected by anything that I say today, I want you to look up and I'll pray for you. And if you want a line under your life today, a draw in the sand where you actually think, after today, I'm going to go forward with God, I'll come out and we'll pray for you as a leadership. I don't want anyone to go out of this building today not dealt with by God, because the enemy will have you in a very different place if you let him. And we're not having it. The key to being connected with God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the new birth, the new life. And if it hasn't happened yet in your life, then pray that prayer today. And get God's Holy Spirit inside of you, because that's where you're going to find your strength and your righteousness and the power of God. There's an old-fashioned word, and it's called repent. And what repent means, I'm going to demonstrate it. Repent is, I'm going in this direction. And when you say, God, I want to repent, I want to say sorry for what I've done, he takes you in this direction. So you do a full turn and you're going in a different direction. And that's what repent is. And that's what we want. You know, you see it on placards. You know, somebody might be reading a news programme or somebody might be on a market and they've got this big placard going, repent. I have to say, I do find it quite difficult to kind of, you know, sometimes I find it difficult when I see people big placards saying things. You know, I want my life that was like that to be turned around and be like that. It's my life that's going to speak more than anything else, more than something painted on a placard. And that's what I want for you as well. At the point we're aware of our wrongdoing, that is conviction. At that point when we're aware of something we've done wrong, that's what it is. And it's our conscience with the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin and anything wrong. Slide 2, John 16, verse 7 to 11. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, Helper, will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in him. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. With the Holy Spirit working inside us, when he convicts us and says that something's wrong, we do feel at that point in time condemned. But that's where we don't stay there. And as soon as we're shown an error or a mistake, that's when we say sorry to God and ask him to forgive us. And as soon as we do that, we feel lighter. There are preachers who will teach about condemnation and people never move on. Condemnation brings shame. And then people don't change. Romans 8 verse 1, third slide. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. That doesn't mean I don't make mistakes, but I'm walking in the Spirit. God's heart for us is that we're always restored. And that's why he sent his son. Jesus brings life and he brings change. One of my favourite stories, you know, is the woman at the well. The other story is the woman caught in adultery. The woman who was caught in adultery was ready to be stoned by the religious people of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were applying the Jewish law, preparing her for her fate. Jesus came along and he said, The person without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, each religious leader dropped the stone that they had and walked away. We see Jesus in the life situations in the Bible where he saw what she'd done wrong. He delivered the woman from the wrongdoing and she was not under a death sentence. He remained and she lived. And that's the model. Condemnation, which she was under, brings death. And that would have happened if Jesus hadn't have been there. If he'd not gone that day, she'd have been stoned. But he brought her life. When the Holy Spirit works with our conscience, he'll take us from a stance of feeling bad about ourselves, from conviction, and then it moves us into a positive way towards God and takes us to a new level in our relationship with God. And what a contrast to the enemy. The enemy's role is to rob, steal and destroy, making us feel down, making us feel fed up, making us feel a heavy weight. And it can be a downward spiral where we feel bad and not able to hear God, and we can feel worthless. And do you know what's key at that time? Because you're not exempt from this as a Christian, you can fall into this quite quickly, is pray. Talk to God like you and me are now. So what's important in the process? Keep your heart tender and sensitive. Let your conscience keep you out of trouble. Don't ignore it. When we look at our society, it can make us feel anxious, trying to keep rules sometimes, trying to do the right thing morally. Our society, our culture, a lot of times putting things down. There's not a lot of encouragement. That's why it's so important in the house of God to be an encourager. If you want to pray anything and you feel redundant in your Christian life, say to God, I want to be an encourager. You'll not be quiet because you'll encourage one another. So if you've not got a job at the moment, ask God to make you an encourager. We can feel sometimes that we've no control and no power. But in the Christian life, our relationship with God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that's where he heightens our sensitivity and awareness in that relationship. Have you ever prayed, God, tell me what I'm doing wrong? I've told you this before, I did, and I had to stop praying it. Because there was things that were revealed, and I thought, hang on a minute, God. I can only cope with so much you know, in time. I can't cope with all this I'm finding out about myself. So I asked God just to slow down a bit. And what I said to God was, can we kind of do it this way? When you show me what I'm doing wrong, can we start that you start to talk to me before I start to mess up? And what I prayed and said was, tell me, Lord, when I say the wrong things. Keep my conscience clear and sensitive to you, and give me your power over sin in my life. And now God is in control, and the power of the Holy Spirit is working in my life every day. So I changed my prayer, and it was better. In life, we have examples of not knowing right from wrong, and there's people who don't know right from wrong, and you know, you'll meet them, and it's a slippery slope. If we ignore our conscience, that small voice, then we become hard-hearted, and we won't hear God or respond to what he's asking us to do. When I was a child, I was 9 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I went on holiday, and my parents sent me to the newsagents for some treats, some sweets. And I got to the front of the queue, and as I got to the desk, as I got to the counter, which was quite high, I remember that there was a Super Bowl there, pink Super Bowl, tiny little thing, only about that big. And I looked at the money I had, and I didn't have enough. So I got my sweets, and in that moment, the person turned away from the counter and I took this Super Bowl. Never taken anything before, never taken anything since. I didn't need to, because I learnt a very good lesson when I pinched that ball. I was only 9 years old, but my conscience would not let me forget it. And I've never stole anything ever since. But as a young child of nine, it was a good lesson for me. Reading the Bible exposes us to God's word. God gives the opportunity to speak to us, and we become softer, more pliable, and we can hear much better. And I've been talking about this every time I've got up, really, because I've been talking for some time about listening to God. The life that we can live, this is the life that Jesus died for. And there's a lot of times when sometimes you might feel you're not living that life, but I want to encourage you as a Christian to live that life, because that's what Jesus died for. Slide 4. The enemy of our soul wants to use condemnation to make us feel hopeless or dread. And there's a scripture there. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What God is saying there, that he puts a flesh heart in us. The hardest person sometimes to forgive is ourselves, and that's particularly if you're a Christian and you've done something wrong. It's almost, sometimes, you know, when I've heard, and Christians have been damaged by things that they've done wrong, I've almost said, Lord, it'd have been much better if they'd have done that before they became a Christian. Because they kind of, it's really hard for them to forgive themselves. But what I want to say to people this morning is that there is forgiveness. We need to lay things that we've done wrong at the feet of Jesus. See, the sacrifice that Jesus made, if we're struggling with something, to ask for forgiveness, what we're really saying is, well, what you did, Jesus, wasn't enough. And that's not true. You know, when we hold on to things and we can't give them up because, you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up about things, what we're saying is, well, Jesus, you died on the cross, but it wasn't enough. And it was. So this morning, if you have something that you've not let go of or not been able to forgive yourself for, then leave it there. I was going to put a rucksack on and then at this point put it down. So, you know, sometimes you've got to imagine you have that rucksack on and there's a point where you put it down and you never pick it up again. When we're forgiven, sometimes we still have to live with the consequences. I was thinking about some of the stories I've heard recently And people still have to live with the consequences. But what I want to tell you is that don't let that be a hard thing, because in our consequences, when we've damaged ourselves and damaged people, our God is a restoring God. Those relationships, you bring those relationships to God, you bring them before him, you talk to him about them, and boy, he restores those relationships. He can restore everything that is broken. So I don't want you to think, if you've been in addiction and you've hurt your family, you've hurt your partner, you've hurt people, I want to tell you that there's hope. And God says, I will restore the years the locust has taken away. And he does. And he does. And he not only does that, but he does more than that. And in my life, I have definitely found that. Absolutely. There's a book by Philip Yancey. If you've not read it, I'd really encourage you to read it. Or what's so amazing about grace? Grace is God's unmerited favour. It's not something we deserve. It's not something you can buy. It's not something you can earn. The difference is we are convicted to change. We move on to life that we need to live. The life that was meant for us. The life that Christ died for. And it not only enables us to live, but it enables us to climb. You're not just living, you're not just existing, but you're doing better than that. And that's the life that Jesus died for. God condemns sin, but he doesn't condemn the person. And we see that, you know, it's really easy to see that when Jesus was on the cross, and mentioned it last week, the guy that was next to him, he said to me, you'll see me in paradise. He didn't have a chance to do any works. He didn't have a chance to put anything right. He was there next to Jesus on the cross, but Jesus saw his heart and said, you'll be with me today. And his mercy was available. Slide 5. My car, red Fiesta. This is my red Fiesta. It's not actually, but it's pretty close. This is my red Fiesta, which I love. It's an 09 plate, so it's not a young car. And this week it's been to Lee at the garage. And I have to trust Lee, the mechanic, when it's broken. I have to trust him when it's got gunk and when it's not working. And I trust my Father in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, who knows everything, to deal with any brokenness, any gunk, any rubbish, anything that's not working, because he's my creator God. Just like Lee at the mechanic looks after my car and does miracles with my car, God does miracles with us. Our brokenness and our repair, our complete life change and restoration has been paid for. The Holy Spirit oils us, gently revealing to us what he needs to be changed, bit by bit. He's so gentle with us at the right time, so we're not overwhelmed. And at the time that something to be dealt with, the Holy Spirit will take us through. He takes away what's restricting us. He moves the thing that's getting in the way. He moves the power of that habit. We are stubborn as humans. It's much better to yield rather than have our own way. Slide 6. This is a quote from Joyce Meyer. God's intention is to steer us out of trouble instead of rescuing us. So one of your prayers could be, God, steer me in the right direction. God, move me in the right direction, rather than, God, help me. Because God would rather have the first bit rather than the second bit. He's still merciful. He still loves us and still rescues us. But let's pray, God, take me in the right direction. The work of the Holy Spirit is to connect with our internal spirit, to show and reveal us truth. And he shows us what is wrong with no condemnation. Thank you, God. I am not condemned. Slide 7. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 6. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everyone in this room, everyone in this room, everyone outside, they just don't know it. Everyone. That sin was laid on our Lord. Satan looks at your sin. God says, look at my son. When I saw that picture, I thought, yeah, that demonstrates what I'm trying to say today. And it says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which is lovely, because there's nothing that's going to keep us where the enemy would want us kept. There is nothing. In him, I am clean. The first sign when I said my prayer to God when I was 14 was, you know, God come into my life, God change me. And actually the preacher was talking about a double portion, and I said, and I want a double portion, God. I was only 14. I want a double portion. Whatever you've got for me, God, I want twice as much. And the immediate thing I felt, even at a very young age, was completely clean. I can't describe it, just felt completely clean. I just felt like, just refreshed. I felt loved. I felt clean. I didn't have any worries or anything. I wasn't concerned about anything. And that's what God does. His one-time sacrifice means we can be clean every day. The great news is that as soon as we come to God, our peace is restored. Our souls does not want us to sort stuff out. His strategy is to isolate. Keep you away from those that would encourage you. You know that, because as soon as something goes wrong, we all want to be on our own. We all want to not mix with people. We all want to deal with stuff. We want to not be here. And I told you before, the best place to be, if something goes wrong next week, is be here the Sunday after. That's the best place to be. Not be away. You need to be here. But the enemy likes to isolate us. His strategy is to keep us away from those that would encourage us. He tell you that there's no hope. Can't change, and in fear withdraw. This is a deep contrast to what God says. Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Slide 8, please. To win the war against fear. This is a quote from Pastor Francis Frangipane. He's not really anybody famous. It's just a quote that he's made. He's still alive. I researched him before I picked the quote. He's still alive. He's ministering. He's Christian in America. And he wrote, to win the war against fear, we must know the true God as he is revealed in the Bible. He works to give us lasting peace. He receives joy, not from condemning us, but in rescuing us from the devil. Yes, the Lord will bring conviction to our hearts concerning sin, but it's so he can deliver us from the sin's power and consequences. It is in its place the Lord works to establish healing, forgiveness and peace. Isn't that wonderful? Every day we live our lives. So moving forward, because I'm finishing now. Every day we live our lives, we ask God to bless us. Bless me, Lord, that I might be a blessing. Ask him to show your love to others. And don't start the end or end your day with guilt. Pray that your relationship with Father is always good, and be ready for the changes that the Holy Spirit is going to make in your life. Exposure to what needs changing is positive. Moving towards maturity. That's what you're doing. So I'm just going to put this last slide up to summarise. So you can see on the left-hand side, you've got all the things for conviction and all the things on the right-hand side for condemnation. So because this is being recorded, I'm going to read it. But what I want you to do as I read it, I want you to listen to this. And if any of these things that are speaking to you, that's what we're going to pray for at the end. So conviction is from God. It leads to life, ends in joy, makes us want to change, leads to a new identity in Christ, brings specific awareness of sin, looks to Jesus, is a blessing. As condemnation, which is what we want to break today, is from Satan, leads to despair, ends in sorrow, makes us think we can't change, leads to old identity in sin, brings vague uncertainty about sin, looks to self, is a burden. Let's pray for the new stuff and draw a line under the old. Let God take away the burden of condemnation. Be encouraged to look to God for your new life and for him to continue to transform you. Okay, let's pray. I thank you, Lord, that we are not under condemnation, that because of the sacrifice of your Son, that one and for all sacrifice, that we can find freedom and forgiveness, that where our sins were there, you have taken them away, and we are now as white as snow. You have cleansed us from all unrighteousness by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we stand in that today. Thank you. So what I'm going to ask you now is, if you want me to pray for you, you've got stuff in your life that you don't need to leave your seat, that'll come afterwards if you want to. But if you just want me to pray for you, just look up.